Radcliffe Hall's 1928 novel, The Well of Loneliness, has been called the lesbian novel, but the woman who took lesbianism out of the literary closet in the early 20th century has herself been obscured by the self-serving stories and biographies her lovers wrote about her. A new biography by Sally Klein, called Radcliffe Hall, A Woman Called John, attempts to put Hall in her rightful place as an early 20th century new woman and as a writer. Book critic Maureen Corrigan has a review.
A colleague stuck his head into my office the other day and asked me what I was reading. A new biography of Radcliffe Hall, I told him. Ooh, Radcliffe Hall, he chortled. Lucky for her, she was a lesbian. I offer that anecdote to everyone who assumes political correctness has muzzled the academy, and to those whose memories need a little jogging about who exactly Radcliffe Hall was. The author of the groundbreaking bestseller, The Well of Loneliness, Hall became a legend in her own time because of the obscenity trials concerning that book. She also generated scandalous gossip for her eccentric, mannish costumes and her out relationships with other prominent women. My imprudent colleague is right about Hall. Had she been heterosexual, her reputation would now be wasting away on the modern novel compost heap, along with those of other traditionalists like Arnold Bennett and John Galsworthy. Even Virginia Woolf, who volunteered to testify against the banning of The Well of Loneliness in Britain, privately wrote to a friend that the dullness of the novel is such that any indecency may lurk there. One simply can't keep one's eyes on the page. You can tell that it pains Hall's latest biographer, Sally Klein, to have to record such criticisms. She's such a partisan that she even likes some of Hall's Hearts and Flowers poetry. Klein's biography, called Radcliffe Hall, A Woman Called John, is, like its subject, an extreme piece of work. If you don't already think that Radcliffe Hall is an even more underrated writer than, say, James Michener, by the time you finish this biography, you just might. Fortunately, Klein devotes generous space throughout her book, not only to bumping up Hall's literary ratings, but also to recounting her adventurous life and establishing her crucial place in the 20th century history of sexuality. Born in 1880 to an upper-class British couple who christened her Marguerite, Hall grew up a sickly tomboy. She was unappreciated by her frilly mother and probably sexually abused by her stepfather in an attempt to normalize her. Eventually liberated by a family inheritance, Hall began to publish verse and develop her signature style of dress, which included a cravat, fedora, monocle, and cropped hair with extravagant spit curls that resembled sideburns. She also converted to Catholicism and began openly living with Mabel Batten, a married woman and professional singer who renamed Hall John. When she was 48, Hall, who had by then established herself as a popular novelist, published The Well of Loneliness about a woman named Stephen Gordon, an invert of the masculine type. All hell broke loose. A London paper, the Sunday Express, condemned Hall's representation of lesbianism as biologically determined and said the novel forces upon our society the disagreeable task of cleansing itself from the leprosy of these lepers. In obscenity trials in England and America, the book was championed by the likes of E.M. Forster, F. Scott Fitzgerald, Ernest Hemingway, Edna Ferber, T.S. Eliot, Vera Brittain, and even the South Wales Miners Association. The Well of Loneliness catapulted Hall into that melancholy pantheon of one-hit writers, along with folks like Bram Stoker and Harriet Beecher Stowe, who actually spewed out lots of books but are known for one title alone. Klein thinks that The Well of Loneliness turned out to be a kind of literary curse for Hall because it erroneously categorized her as a lesbian polemical writer, when in fact she was an artist with a capital A. I don't think Klein is going to win many converts to that view. Instead, what her ardent, exhaustive lump of a biography ironically demonstrates is that Hall's life was more rollicking, courageous, and erotically fulfilled than any story she ever committed to print.
Maureen Corrigan teaches literature at Georgetown University.